They say that every soldier in the Death Corps of Krieg is a dead man walking from the day he's born. After fighting on the front lines, I believe it. War has a way of blurring the line between life and death out here. Each dawn in the trenches could be your last, if you're lucky. If you're unlucky, you live to do it all over again the next day. Our descent to the surface was as violent as any battle. The dropship shuddered under sporadic anti-air fire, but we sat strapped into our harnesses, silent and unmoved. A naval ratings panicked voice crackled over the Vox, announcing 30 seconds to touchdown under heavy incoming. I heard prayers and cursing in the background of his mic. None of it from us. We in the hold simply checked our rifles one last time. Bayonets fixed, respirators tight. A final jolt and thud told us we were down. A moment later, the ramps slammed open and we stormed out into the gray light of a polluted dawn. The sky was choked with greasy black smoke, and the ruins of once proud hab blocks jutted from the earth like broken teeth. A wave of heat, dust, and the copper tang of dried blood welcomed us. There was no need for speeches or salutes. We all knew why we were here. We moved with the mechanical purpose drilled into us since childhood. Within minutes of landing, we were already fanning out and digging in. The ground was a churned wasteland of shell craters and half-buried corpses, but for us it might as well have been home. Every guardsman from Krieg carries a shovel, and we know how to use it. Within an hour, a fresh line of trenches zigzagged across the muck behind a shattered ridge. No shouted orders beyond the initial coordinates. We didn't need them. Each of us knew our task. The near silence of our toil was eerie, only the thunk of spades and the grinding of earth, with the distant thump of artillery on the horizon. I caught myself almost appreciating the quiet efficiency. No chatter, no complaints. In other regiments, I've heard, soldiers joke or gripe to keep their spirits up. Not us. Spirits are just another thing that can be broken. So we conserve our breath for digging and pray in silence that our positioning is good. At least as good as any prayer we ever offer. We came here to fortify and hold the line, and if necessary, to die on it. As I carved out a firing step in the trench wall, I glanced up at the poisoned sky and the distant silhouette of the hive city we were tasked with retaking. Its towering spires were shrouded in a haze of smoke and spores. That was our objective, Hive Arcadia. Though after the greenskins' attentions, it's little more than a giant tomb waiting to be filled. Somewhere in there, an orc war boss and his horde were squatting on a prize the Imperium wanted back. And we, the Death Corps, had been sent to collect that debt in blood and fire. We barely had time to string the razor wire and set up firing positions before the greenskins took notice. The first shell caught us by surprise. A distant boom, then a whistling screech that grew rapidly louder. Instincts kicked in and we all flattened against the trench wall. A split second later, a geyser of mud and body parts erupted 50 meters to my left. The ground shuddered with the impact, clods of wet earth pattering down on my helmet like grotesque rain. Orc artillery, crude but effective by sheer volume. Before I'd even wiped the muck from my visor, more shells were screaming in. Explosions marched across our freshly dug trenches. Not accurate, but when you throw up enough shells, luck alone guarantees a few hits. I pressed myself into the dirt wall, trying to become one with the earth. The air was filled with the roar of detonations and the angry hornet buzz of shrapnel slicing past. Somewhere to my right, I heard a strangled scream cut short. One of my squad mates caught a shell head on. I didn't look. I already knew what I'd see. When a high caliber round lands on a human body, there isn't much left to look at. Better to keep your eyes forward and your head down. A hot gust of displaced air whooshed overhead, carrying the stench of burning promethium and charred flesh. I felt something wet hit my trench coat, a splatter of blood that wasn't mine. Perhaps a reminder that on Krieg we consider such things a baptism. I just gritted my teeth and waited. Around me, none of the others panicked or tried to flee. We endured. Chunks of rockcrete and scrap metal rained down, clanging off our helmets and shoulder plates. A heavy piece of debris thumped into the mud by my feet, part of a torn sandbag or maybe a chunk of someone's flak armor. It didn't matter. There was nothing to do but hug the earth and let the barrage pass. After what felt like an eternity, the shelling finally trailed off. The orcs had likely grown bored of bombarding dirt and smoke, or run out of munitions for the moment, hard to say which. Dust and acrid smoke hung in the air, and my ears rang with a dull whine. I lifted my head cautiously. Our trench line was battered but intact. Here and there, mangled bodies slumped against the earthworks. A few of those bodies wore our greatcoats. Some wore makeshift uniforms, likely local militia who had died in earlier fighting, now unearthed by the shell blasts. Either way, they were just meat now. We checked ourselves over, spat mud from our respirator grills, and immediately set to repairing the damage. One section of trench a few dozen meters down had partially caved in, so those of us still standing clambered out and began shoring it up as best we could. No orders needed. We all saw what had to be done. A fellow next to me, I never learned his name, only the stenciled serial on his chest plate, wordlessly handed me a replacement entrenching tool, as mine had been twisted into scrap by a concussive blast. I nodded in thanks. Nothing more needed to be said. I caught a glimpse of the identification number on his armor. Names aren't much use to us in Krieg. But in that silent moment of shared understanding, it felt like a bond as close to friendship as our kind ever gets. The days after that night blurred together in a haze of mud, blood, and exhaustion. Our siege lines crept closer, foot by foot, as we dug new forward positions under cover of darkness and constant artillery. Each dawn we endured the customary orc shelling, and each day we answered with our own barrages. We lived like moles in the earth, shuffling between firing steps, dugouts, and latrine ditches, heads always low as the war raged overhead. Occasionally, a toxic rain would begin to fall, oily, yellowish droplets hissing as they hit the ground. It ate into exposed flesh and turned the top layer of soil into chemical sludge. We would huddle under tarpaulins or whatever scrap of cover we had until it passed. When the downpour stopped, we emerged and went right back to work repairing the trenches, treating the weather like just another artillery barrage to be endured. Through it all, the machinery of war kept turning. In the dark of night, long files of carriers and lumbering servitors brought forward crates of ammunition, power packs, and ration boxes to replace what we'd expended that day. Likewise, stretcher bearers carried the wounded and dying back to aid stations in the rear. A grim procession as routine as the changing of a watch. Everything was brutally efficient, relentlessly punctual. The only way to sustain a siege of this magnitude. Our world narrowed to the next task, the next bombardment to endure, the next few meters of ground to claim. Nothing existed beyond the trenches and the no man's land of Arcadia. That was our reality. Our leaders were no rear line commanders either. They shared every danger with us. I spotted our regimental colonel on more than one occasion standing shoulder to shoulder with muddy, blood-streaked guardsmen in a forward trench, binoculars in hand, calmly observing enemy movements under fire. His presence was unannounced, with no fanfare, just a silent example that we all serve equally on the line, whether officer or private. That simple sight was as good as any stirring speech to us. We needed no flowery words, only to know that our duty was being done by all. At times, during those long weeks and months, I wondered what truly set us apart. How we Krieg guardsmen could endure horrors and hardship that might break other troops. The truth is, we fight with the weight of our planet's sins on our backs. We were taught from childhood about Krieg's great betrayal and the price that was paid for it. Long before I was born, our ancestors forsook the Emperor's light, and our world was consumed in atomic fire as a result. Those who survived did so only by the Emperor's grace and by a supreme act of devotion, scouring our entire planet in nuclear hellfire to root out heresy. We, their descendants, have been paying the debt for Krieg's treachery ever since. Every trench we dig, every charge we weather, every futile attack we press forward, it is all to wipe away that ancient shame with our blood. Some call it fanaticism. For us, it is simply duty. We know that no matter how many of us fall, it will never undo the past. But if by dying we secure the Imperium's future, then in death we find a measure of redemption, perhaps even the Emperor's forgiveness. That is why fear has no hold on us. That is why, in the direst moments, you will never see a Krieg guardsman retreat or hesitate. We have already died once. On the day we were born in the ruins of Krieg. Everything after that is just seeking atonement before the final rest. I once heard a commissar from another regiment put it well, "A guardsman's life is the Emperor's currency. Spend it well." That simple truth defines us. We will give our lives freely in his name, but we will not squander them for nothing. Every drop of blood, every sacrifice, must purchase something of worth, or it's just waste. On Krieg, waste is the one sin left unatoned. Night fell, and with it came orders to probe the enemy's lines. High Command wanted a better idea of what lay between our trench line and the city. That meant someone had to go out into no man's land and see what was what. In the Death Corps, volunteering is redundant. When duty calls, you answer. Our squad fixed bayonets, checked our rebreather seals, and clambered over the parapet under cover of darkness. Immediately, the taste of ash and cordite intensified even through my mask's filters. The ground beyond our wire was a nightmare landscape of churned mud, tangled razor wire, and craters filled with brackish water and Emperor knows what else. We advanced in staggered formation, ghosts moving through a graveyard. It wasn't long before we found what we were looking for, or rather, they found us. A guttural snarl and the thunder of heavy footfalls were our only warning. An orc patrol, likely drawn out by the same curiosity as our superiors. How the greenskins moved so close without our noticing, I'll never know. Maybe the beasts did have some low cunning after all, or maybe we were simply too small and quiet to catch their notice until they were almost on top of us. They came howling out of the gloom, crude blades and rusted guns in hand. I caught the feral gleam of green eyes and the silhouette of muscular brutes, a heartbeat before they crashed into us. The first shot rang out, one of ours. And an orc head snapped back in a spray of dark blood. But then they were among us, and it was all chaos. Muzzle flashes strobed the night. I found myself face to face with a roaring monster, swinging a cleaver the size of a shovel. "Wah!" it bellowed as it charged, the sound hitting me like a physical force. I squeezed the trigger, and my last gun bucked against my shoulder. Ruby-red bolts stitched across the orc's chest, burning smoking craters in its thick hide. It stumbled, but didn't slow. A living freight train of muscle and fury. Bayonet time. I had a split second to brace before the orc crashed into me. It was like being hit by a rampaging Grox. The impact knocked the wind out of me and sent me tumbling back into a shell crater with the brute on top of me. Its breath reeked of blood and fungus, even through my mask's filters. A clawed hand clamped onto my shoulder, the pressure crushing armor plate and flesh beneath. I might have screamed in pain. I'm not sure. The blood pounding in my ears drowned everything out. By pure reflex, I drove my bayonet upward with both hands. The blade punched up under the orc's jaw and into its skull. Hot, viscous fluid splattered onto my gloves and chest. The monster gurgled out a ragged choke. I had to roll aside as its dying spasms drove that massive cleaver into the mud inches from my head. With a final shudder, the green skin went limp. Its bulk pinned me in the crater, a dead weight, literally, but I managed to shove it off and gasp a breath of the chill night air, tinged with the coppery stink of orc blood even through my filters. Around me, the fight was brief and brutally quiet. We don't waste time with battle cries or heroics. A few minutes of sharp whispers, gunshots, and the wet crunch of steel meeting flesh, and it was over. Four orcs lay sprawled in the muck, leaking blood as black as oil. One of them was still twitching, so our watchmaster stepped up and put a luss round through its skull at point-blank range. We gathered ourselves. Two of our own were down as well. One of them, Trooper Capeg, one of the rare few of us who actually had a name, was slumped against a crater lip with his torso torn open. Maybe an orc slug round, maybe a blade, it was hard to tell in the dark and chaos. He wasn't moving. Another guardsman was writhing on the ground, clutching the remains of his left arm where a crude orc bullet had nearly sheared it off at the elbow. The watchmaster checked the wounded man. Without a word, he pulled a field stim and tourniquet from the soldier's kit. A quick injection and a tightened strap on the stump. We don't give up on the living if there's a chance to save them. The wounded man's screaming quieted to a groan as the drugs took hold. We dragged our wounded and our dead back with us. The intelligence gathered from this sortie was scant, but we'd confirmed that the orcs were patrolling aggressively beyond their walls. Command would be interested in that. I hauled Capeg's body by the shoulders as we trudged back to our lines. He was the closest thing to a friend I had in the squad. Not that we ever exchanged more than a few words. We had shared a trench during the voyage here, cleaned each other's rifles, recited the same litanies before battle. Now his vacant eyes stared past me at nothing. I realized I had never seen Capeg's face. In the corps, we seldom remove our masks, even among comrades. And now I never would. I felt no anger, no sorrow, or told myself I didn't. Emotions are luxuries for people who expect to live. Instead, I focused on the practical, retrieving his ident tags and any unused ammo or grenades on him. The quartermaster would want those back. We slipped into our trenches just before first light, mud-stained, bloodied but alive. A successful mission by Krieg standards. We'd done our duty, taken our losses without complaint, and returned with valuable information. As the sun's weak rays filtered through the toxic haze that morning, I realized I had just experienced my first true melee with the Greenskins. It hadn't felt like glory or heroics. It felt like work ugly, necessary work. The following week settled into a grim rhythm of attrition. Every day the orcs tried something, a probing attack here, a sniper taking pot shots there, and every day we matched them measure for measure. Our regiment and others alongside us tightened the noose around Hive Arcadia, inch by inch. Often at night, echoing across no man's land, we heard their guttural laughter and the clang of their crude drums as the Xenos reveled in bloodshed or tried to unnerve us. Perhaps they thought they could scare soldiers of Krieg with noise and fury. We only checked our rifles and tightened our mask straps, unmoved. Let them shout and bang all they like. It would not stop us from silencing them soon enough. Dawn broke one day, perhaps a month into the siege, though exact dates had lost meaning, with an enemy horn blast and the guttural roar of thousands of voices. The orcs were coming in force. A massed assault, not just another raid. I scrambled up to the firing step and peered over the parapet. The early light revealed a horde of green-skinned figures swarming out from the ruined outskirts of Hive Arcadia. They came on in a tide, banners made of scrap metal fluttering, guns firing wildly even at extreme range. Their war cries rolled across the battlefield in one continuous wordless howl. Wah! Stand to! The call went down our line. Lost guns were thrust through loopholes and over sandbags. Heavy stubbers and heavy bolters on their mounts swiveled to face the oncoming horde. I flicked my rifle's fire selector to full auto and braced it on the parapet. Inhale, exhale, squeeze. Our first volley cut into the orcs and dropped dozens blowing apart brutish torsos and searing limbs off in sprays of black blood. But that barely slowed them. Hulking orc boys in patchwork armor, nimble grot fodder waving pistols, huge knob leaders swinging cleavers the size of plow blades. They all came hurtling toward us, utterly heedless of their losses. Behind them rumbled war buggies and trucks bouncing over the craters, spewing smoke and lead from big shooters welded to their decks. The greenskins' return fire was wild and inaccurate, but there was so much of it that it almost didn't matter. A storm of heavy slugs whining and ricocheting off our front parapet. "Keep firing!" our watchmaster shouted, his voice somehow calm and clear amid the din. And we did. We fired until our rifle barrels glowed, swapped power packs in practiced motions, then fired some more. Enemy rounds cracked past or thudded into the breastwork. One of those large caliber slugs blew through the sandbags in front of me and caught the man next to me square in the chest, punching through his cuirass. He toppled without a sound. A second later, a replacement from the rear stepped wordlessly into his place and opened up on the advancing orcs. There was no hesitation and no break in the wall of last fire. Our own artillery, pre-sighted on no man's land, opened up moments later. Earthshaker shells howled overhead and began to pummel the orc advance. Great gouts of dirt and fire erupted among the charging aliens, blowing craters in their ranks and shredding scores at a time. Still they came on. Their sheer momentum was bringing some of them to the edge of our minefields and wire. I could make out individual orc faces now. Crude iron gob masks, beady red eyes, mouths stretched wide in bestial rage, as the front runners thundered toward our razor wire barricades. We had strewn the approach with mines and booby traps. These now began to claim their due. Sharp cracks rang out as orcs stepped on hidden charges, blasting them apart or upending them in sprays of dirt. One massive knob, practically a walking tank of muscle, barreled straight into a coil of razor wire and became ensnared, shredding himself bloody on the barbs, but still forcing his way through. We concentrated our fire on that one, and it finally went down in a heap just a few meters shy of our trench, riddled with smoking holes. Then came the moment every guardsman trains for, the enemy at the wall. With a screech of tortured metal and a bellowing roar, an orc's half-track that had somehow survived the shelling crashed through a section of our outer wire and lodged right across our trench, practically making a bridge of its hull. Orcs poured off its bed and into our forward positions, howling and swinging their axes. I saw a tongue of flame whoosh out as one of our combat engineers drenched the borders in burning promethium from a flamer. Angry red-orange fire lit up the trench, along with the high-pitched screams of orcs being cooked alive. The melee was joined all down our line as the greenskins tried to force their way into our trenches. "Fix bayonets! Countercharge!" came the cry down the trench. No hesitation. If the line is breached, you throw yourself at the breach. That's the Krieg way. I locked my bayonet in place and vaulted over the parapet along with dozens of others, and we hurled ourselves at the onrushing enemy in the torn no man's land. What followed was a blur, a brutal close-quarters frenzy. I remember firing my last gun point blank into a snarling orc's face, then skewering a second through the gut when my charge pack ran dry. Training took over completely. A bayonet can be as deadly as any sword if you put your weight into it. And I did, again and again. I caught myself growling litanies under my breath with each thrust. In death, atonement for the Emperor. There was no room for fear or doubt, only the next target moving in front of me. An orc boy swung a rusted axe at my head. I ducked under the clumsy swipe and drove my blade up under its ribcage. It coughed blood and sagged, nearly yanking my rifle out of my hands as it fell. I planted a boot on its chest to free my bayonet, only to be confronted by another green skin barreling toward me. This one carried a brutal cleaver and was already mid-swing. I barely got my weapon up in time. Its heavy blade collided with my bayonet, sending a teeth-rattling shock through my arms and almost knocking the rifle away. I staggered back, desperately trying to bring the muzzle to bear as the orc yanked its cleaver free from my steel and raised it high for a killing blow. At that instant, a gunshot cracked just over my right shoulder. The orc's face vanished in a burst of dark blood and bone fragments. It toppled forward, dead before it hit the ground. Behind me, our squad marksman lowered his smoking long las and gave me a curt nod before turning to acquire another target. I hadn't even realized he'd climbed out and followed us into the fray. It's impossible to say how long that wild melee lasted. Probably only minutes, though it felt like hours compressed into heartbeats. Eventually, I realized there were no more orcs standing around me, only mounds of corpses and the moans of the wounded. My limbs felt suddenly leaden as the adrenaline drained away. I was spattered head to toe in gore. None of it seemed to be mine, amazingly. Only then did I notice a sharp sting in my thigh. A jagged piece of shrapnel was lodged there, probably since the shelling. My trouser leg was soaked with blood, but it was just a flesh wound. I slapped a field dressing on it and forced myself back upright. There was still work to do. The orc assault had faltered and then collapsed. What remained of their horde was falling back toward the city, leaving the field carpeted with their dead. Some of our forward trenches had been completely overrun, but behind them were always more corpsemen ready to step up. In truth, the greenskins never stood a chance of pushing us out entirely, not unless they had endless numbers. And while orcs almost have endless numbers, so do we. A ragged cheer went up from some sections of the line as the greenskins finally broke and ran. It was an exhausted, rasping sound. In our sector, we didn't cheer. We simply exchanged looks through sweat-fogged mask lenses and then got on with the grim task of counting our losses and reforming ranks. I saw our watchmaster lying crumpled against the trench wall where he'd stood moments before, half his head gone, taken off by an orc slug. Another fine leader of Krieg, gone in an eye blink. I didn't dwell on it. A veteran corporal nearby calmly picked up the watchmaster's fallen chainsword and webbing, assuming command of our squad without a word. Amid the carnage, I witnessed a sight that will stay with me until I die. Through the clearing smoke, out on our far right flank, shapes were moving fast. Not orcs, but men on horseback, galloping through shell holes and wreckage. The Death Riders had arrived. They rode tall in their saddles, lances lowered as they charged. I watched, momentarily awestruck, as they smashed into the flank of the retreating orc horde. Explosive-tipped lances punched into the mob and detonated, blowing orc bodies apart in showers of gore. The riders' mounts, those strange, gene-bred Krieg steeds trampled the fallen without breaking stride. It was cavalry against a horde out of some ancient legend, and yet there it was happening before my eyes. Within moments, the Death Riders had ripped into the orc's tail and completely shattered what remained of their attack, sending any survivors fleeing in a rout. The line held, but just barely. Corpses, human and Xenos alike, lay piled in grotesque heaps where the trenches had been breached. The mud was slicked with blood and littered with spent casings and severed limbs. A greasy pall of gun smoke and promethium hung in the cold air like a fog. I leaned on my last gun, gasping breaths filtered through my mask, and surveyed the price of victory. The air was thick with an ungodly stench, a mix of charred flesh, ozone from energy weapons, and the coppery tang of spilled blood. The perfume of a hard-won battlefield. Maybe a third of our platoon was dead or too injured to continue. I felt a pang as I recognized one of the fallen, the quiet fellow who had wordlessly handed me a shovel on the first day. His eyes were closed as if sleeping, a jagged bayonet wound in his belly. I found myself hoping the quartermaster would come along soon to grant him the Emperor's peace and collect his tags. It was a practical thought, nothing more, I told myself. All along the trench, medics and quartermaster orderlies were already moving among the living and dead. I caught sight of one of our quartermasters, a medic priest with a red cross on his helmet, as he knelt by a fallen guardsman who somehow still clung to life despite half his body being a charred ruin. The wounded man was propped against the trench wall, silently mouthing a prayer. The quartermaster placed a hand on the man's shoulder, reciting a litany I couldn't hear, then drew a bolt pistol and ended the soldier's suffering with a single round to the temple. The Emperor's peace, delivered swiftly and without hesitation. The dying guardsman's lips curved in what might have been relief as the light left his eyes. Without ceremony, the quartermaster signaled to a pair of servitors to haul the body out and salvage anything useful, then moved on to the next broken form. Nearby, those troopers who could still stand were dragging less seriously wounded comrades to the rear, or propping them up to await stretcher bearers. We did what we could for the injured, which, in field conditions, often wasn't much. There was no time for gentleness or grief. The living were needed for the next fight, and the dead had already done their part. That day's victory had been hard won and costly. But war on this scale doesn't pause for mourning. Within hours, fresh troops from our reserves moved up to replace the fallen in the line. I was one of the lucky few still fit for duty, barring the shrapnel burn on my thigh and a constellation of bruises. High command consolidated what remained of several decimated units. Squads were recombined, platoons merged. In the reshuffle, I received new orders. I was being seconded to a grenadier unit for the next phase of the campaign. Grenadiers, the Co-op's heavy assault infantry. I wasn't sure I'd earned the honor, or if I was simply the warm body available to fill a gap. But orders are orders. A quartermaster sergeant issued me upgraded kit. Thicker carapace plates to wear over my greatcoat, a hellgun with cables leading to a backpack power cell, and a new mask, the menacing skull-visaged respirator that marks a Krieg grenadier. I donned it without a word. In the reflection of a shattered trench periscope, I no longer recognized myself. A death's head stared back. Fitting, I thought. We wear the faces of death after all. There was little time to acclimate to my new squad. They were mostly veterans, survivors of countless assaults, identifiable by the wear on their gear and the calm in their voices. If they even noticed a newcomer in their midst, they said nothing beyond a curt nod. Krieg discipline in action. I took my place among them and double-checked my weapons and ammo. Twice, three times. Word came down at last. We were going on the offensive. The orcs' big attack had been blunted, leaving them weakened. High command decided to seize the moment and break the enemy for good. Our objective, breach Hive Arcadia and purge the greenskins within. It would be the final assault to end this campaign. Naturally, the Death Corps would lead from the front. We spent the night before the assault in preparation and prayer. In our dugouts by the light of a stub lantern, a chaplain led us through the litany of sacrifice. We all murmured the words in unison, quietly but fervently, as we cleaned our weapons and checked our grenades for the 100th time. In life, war. In death, peace. In life, shame. In death, atonement. We had recited those lines countless times, but that night they burrowed deeper than ever. They weren't just ritual, they were a promise. By this time tomorrow, many of us would find peace and atonement in death. The rest would march on, carrying that promise into the next battle. Just before dawn, our artillery opened up with the heaviest bombardment of the siege. Hundreds of guns, from light mortars to giant earthshakers, unleashed hell on the outer defenses of the Hive City. The noise was beyond deafening. It was a physical presence, a continuous pressure in the chest. The pre-dawn darkness turned to false daylight, with hundreds of overlapping muzzle flashes. We grenadiers huddled in our assembly trenches just behind the gun lines, waiting for the signal to advance. Each minute of that bombardment, thousands of kilos of high explosive and gas shells rained onto the enemy. Through my mask's lenses, I watched the horizon flicker and erupt. The Hive silhouette disappeared behind a wall of dust and fire. Emperor only knows how many orcs died in that hour of shelling. Not enough. There are never enough. But it was time to move regardless. When the barrage finally lifted, dawn had broken, a sickly red sun glowing behind the pall of smoke. Signal flares popped green along our lines. It was time. "Advance!" the order echoed down the trench. Our grenadier squad was among the first out of the jump-off trenches. We scrambled up ladders and over the parapet, then started the long charge toward the shattered gates of Hive Arcadia. The landscape between our lines and the city was utterly devastated by our guns. Fires raged in half-collapsed bastion towers. The ground was pockmarked with fresh craters and strewn with the wreckage of the orcs' outer defenses. Many greenskins had been torn to bits by the shelling, their charred bodies lying in craters or draped over rubble. And yet, as we advanced at a steady run across the broken plain, return fire still greeted us. Staccato bursts of orc shooters and the heavier boom of cannons from within the Hive spat out at our wave. The beasts hadn't all been killed, far from it. Those that survived were enraged, dug in, and determined to make us pay for every inch. We answered them the way we answer anything, by not slowing a heartbeat. To pause in the open was death. Our only chance lay in closing the distance and storming their positions. Tracers and rockets began lancing out from the Hive's smoldering ramparts, kicking up gouts of dirt among our charging troops. An explosion to my left hurled a trio of guardsmen into the air like rag dolls, probably a crude mortar round. A shard of metal whizzed past my faceplate. I kept running. One of our supporting tanks, a Lehman Russ painted in the black and gray of Krieg, roared past on my right, its engine screaming. It fired shell after shell into the smoking breach, covering our advance. I saw its heavy bolters chattering as it rolled, cutting down orc shapes on the battlements. A moment later, a white-hot streak slammed into the Russ and blew its turret clean off in a fireball. An orc anti-tank cannon, no doubt. The burning hulk shuddered to a halt, but the rest of us thundered onward past it. No time to mourn, no time to even think about it. My legs burned as we crossed the last 100 meters to the Hive's main gate, or rather, where the gate had been. The massive adamantium doors were twisted and partially ajar, blasted open by our sustained artillery fire. Beyond yawned a dark void lit by fires and flickering tracers. This was our breach. Another wave of our infantry was coming up close behind us. Tens of thousands of guardsmen, ready to flood into the city once we grenadiers punched open the entrance. We were the spearhead, tasked with breaking into the orcs' stronghold first. It was an honor I hadn't sought, but here I was. We hurled smoke grenades ahead of us to cloak our final approach. A billowing screen of white obscured the breach. I dropped into the smoldering ruins of a guard tower by the gate, using the shattered rock crete as cover. Several other grenadiers formed up beside me, reloading and fixing bayonets. Even through my helmet, I could hear my own breathing, fast and shallow, and the pounding of my heart. In the eerie half-light, our skull-masked figures looked like a host of specters emerging from the smoke. Perhaps we were. "Breach and clear!" our lieutenant barked through the vox. He primed a gas grenade, one of Krieg's own special concoctions, and lobbed it through the gap in the gate. We waited a few moments as yellow-white chemical smoke billowed into the opening. Then, with a collective roar of, "For the Emperor," we charged in. What followed was intense, close-quarters mayhem. The interior gatehouse was a cavernous hall filled with rubble, shattered barricades, and dozens of orc corpses from the bombardment. Those orcs, still living, were dazed, coughing on our poison gas, scrambling to bring their guns up as we came at them. We moved in disciplined fire teams, shotguns and hell guns methodically cutting down anything that moved on the floor or catwalks, while our flamer operators drenched corners and alcoves with cleansing fire. An orc in heavy scrap armor, maybe a knob leading this post, barreled out of the smoke swinging a roaring chain axe. He cleaved one of our veterans nearly in half before we converged on him, a dozen las and hellgun beams boring through his armor plates. The brute collapsed in a heap among the bodies of his victims, lifeless at last. Room by room, level by level, we cleared the gatehouse. Grenades into barricaded offices, point-blank volleys into shadowy storerooms, brutal bayonet work to finish any survivors. One by one, the pockets of resistance were silenced. The orcs fought ferociously, they always do, but they were disorganized and stunned from the shelling. We gave them no time to recover. Within a short span, the entrance sector was ours. We sent up the flare, breach secure. Within minutes, wave upon wave of regular guardsmen poured in behind us, fanning out to secure the beachhead we'd carved. The real battle for the city was just beginning, but the gate was open. From there, the fight spread into the hive's streets. It was urban warfare in its purest form, brutal and unrelenting. This hive city, once home to millions, was now a gargantuan tomb. Every thoroughfare was clogged with wreckage. Towering hab blocks had been shattered by fighting and shelling. Some leaned precariously, others were reduced to skeletal shells of girders. Statues of imperial heroes lay toppled and defiled in the plazas. Orcish graffiti scrawled in blood and paint covered the hive's interior walls, alongside grisly totems. Human heads on spikes, chains of bones, flayed corpses hung upside down from balconies. The sights filled me with a cold, controlled anger. This world had been desecrated by the greenskins, and now we would purge that stain street by street. Progress was slow, grinding, but it was steady. At one point, a mob of orc skulkers attempted a crude ambush, pouring out of a sewer junction behind our spearhead in a frenzy of blades and gunfire. They overran a field aid post in seconds, hacking down medics and wounded alike, before nearby corpse men counterattacked. Our nearest reserve squad double-timed back and sealed off the sewer mouth behind the orcs, trapping them. Caught in a crossfire inside that tunnel junction, the greenskins were torn apart. I remember the flamer team stepping forward, wordlessly bathing the entire sewer junction in fire until the screams and gunshots from within died out. We dragged what few wounded we had out of the reeking tunnels and pressed on, leaving the charred orc remains clogging the culvert, a lesson to any others who thought to strike at our rear. Street by street, floor by floor, we advanced. My whole world shrank to the next street corner, the next hab block to clear. Each had to be secured with grenades and bayonets. The orcs made us pay for every meter in blood, but we paid them back in kind. Ambushes sprang from shattered hab windows, snipers with ramshackle rifles, who we had to root out with precise counter-sniper fire or demolition charges tossed into their nests. The greenskins had made crude barricades out of burned-out vehicles and piles of debris, turning wide avenues into choke points. We took those with a combination of tactics, suppressing fire from autocannons and mortars to keep their heads down, while grenadier teams like mine flanked through alleyways or blasted holes through building walls to come at the barricades from the sides. One by one, each strong point was blown apart or overrun. It was bloody, exhausting work. We fought through exhaustion, snatching minutes of sleep in devastated habs during lulls, only to be shaken awake and sent forward again. Combat stims and recaf rations kept our bodies moving when by rights they should have collapsed. If not for those chemical aids and our sheer bloody willpower, I doubt half of us would have remained standing by the time we neared the city's heart. Somewhere in that haze of constant battle, we even stumbled across survivors. In the upper levels of a half-collapsed hab block, our squad discovered a handful of human civilians, an old woman and two dirt-streaked children, hiding in the ruins of a basement pantry. Emperor knows how they'd survived through the bombardments and the orcs rampaging above. They froze in terror when our skull-masked figures emerged from the darkness. I realized what a sight we must have been, tall, faceless, caked in grime and gore. To those poor civilians, we probably looked like one more wave of death coming for them. The old woman fell to her knees, babbling pleas. One of the children started sobbing, clutching at her. Our lieutenant stepped forward and tried to assure them in a calm, if mechanical voice that they were safe now. Hard to be comforting when your voice comes out as a harsh rasp through a mask. In the end, we escorted the three survivors back toward our rear lines and handed them over to a Medicare unit moving up. The children continued to stare at us in abject fear. I don't blame them. We hardly look like saviors. As we departed, I caught a snippet of a Medicare worker reassuring the terrified family. You're all right now. The Krieg have saved the city. I wondered if those civilians truly understood what that meant. For them, this war was a nightmare that they could finally wake up from, a dark chapter that might eventually become memory. For us, war is the only life we know. I doubt I'd know how to live if peace ever truly came. One memory stands out sharply amid the long grind through the hive, the moment we broke the back of the orc defense. We had pushed the enemy back to the central forum of the hive, a grand market square that had become their last redoubt. There, the orcs had massed for a final stand around their war boss. A hulking beast of an orc he was, clad in scrap iron armor, draped in trophies of bone and skull. He bellowed and roared at his mob, rallying them for a last fight. They had turned the forum into a fortress, looted heavy guns dug in at the thoroughfares, a captured Imperial tank hull dragged into the plaza as an improvised turret, firing madly into our approach routes. For a time, our advance stalled under that withering fire. Every attempt to push into the open square was met with a hurricane of bullets and rockets. Several units that rushed the main boulevard were shredded and had to fall back into cover. Typical orc battle, loud, frantic, and brutally effective in its own ramshackle way. That's when the order came down to fix bayonets and charge. To some, that might sound like madness. to send men charging into a kill zone of that magnitude, but to us it made perfect sense. Shock and sacrifice, that's how you break a stalemate. Our commander himself, I later learned, was the first out of cover, shouting, "No retreat for the Emperor!" We all rose and poured forward with him, bayonets gleaming on blood-crusted rifles, our voices joining in a hoarse battle cry. Our surge clearly caught the orcs off guard. Who but a madman or a Krieger would run straight into that storm of fire? Dozens of us fell in the first few seconds, scythed down by streams of orc bullets, or scalded by gouts of flame from crude burner tanks. Yet we kept running. I kept running. There is a kind of freedom in that moment, when you've accepted you're already dead, and all that's left is to see how far you can go before the world snuffs you out. Odd details burned themselves into my mind amid the madness. I remember the heavy thud of my heartbeat in my ears, matching the drumbeat of my boots, pounding the shattered concrete. I saw comrades to my left and right jerk and collapse mid-stride as enemy rounds found them, their bodies skidding to a stop on the blood-slick ground. An orc slug whistled so close past my head that I felt the shockwave buffet my helmet. Through the haze of smoke and dust, I caught sight of a tattered Imperial banner hanging from a half-ruined administratum building on the square's edge. Miraculously still intact, riddled with holes but defiantly fluttering amid the chaos. Such a strange thing to notice in the heat of battle, but it gave me a sudden jolt of fierce resolve. Even here in this forsaken place, the Imperium's standard endured. So would we. I felt no fear, no hatred, no emotion at all. Just a cold determination fixed on the towering silhouette of that orc war boss at the center of the square. He was my focus, the anchor for my will. If I could make it to him, if we could make it to him, this would end. A bolt round caught me in the shoulder and spun me to the ground. I hit hard, stars exploding across my vision. The pain flared hot, but in a distant way more shock than agony. My shoulder plate had taken the worst of it. My arm hung numb but intact. Gritting my teeth, I forced myself up and staggered onward. Ahead of me, a pair of Krieg engineers had reached the enemy's commandeered tank. I saw them climb atop it amid a rain of orc fire and toss charges into the hatch. An explosion blew the turret apart from within, silencing that gun with one decisive blast. An orc sprang up on a pile of rubble to my left, trying to bring a machine gun to bear on us. I snapped my hell gun up and fired a 3-round burst, tearing open the brute's torso and knocking it off its perch. And then, somehow, I was in the thick of them. Our charge crashed into the orc line with an impact you could feel in your teeth. I found myself face to face with a scarred orc boy swinging a serrated blade. He snarled and hacked at me, slicing a line across my chest armor. I responded with a blast from my hellgun into his abdomen at point-blank range. The smell of charred flesh puffed out as he crumpled. All around me, similar brutal struggles raged. The cacophony was overwhelming. Guttural orc war cries, the crack of las guns, the thunderous boom of a nearby meltagun, vaporizing an orc knob in a flash of steam, screams of pain and fury on both sides. It was a vision of hell, but we thrive in hell. The war boss loomed ahead, a colossal figure laying about with a crackling power claw that glowed with vile energies. I saw him backhand one of our men. The poor soul was literally flung off his feet, limbs splayed, crashing lifelessly into a pile of rubble. But even as the war boss roared in triumph, multiple Korf's men swarmed him. They stabbed and fired at him from all sides. He roared and lashed out, swatting one aside, ripping another in half with that claw. He took a bayonet in the thigh from one of our sergeants, but the beast fought on, seemingly invulnerable. Finally, a grenadier lieutenant, helmet missing and half his face bloodied, stepped forward almost casually behind the distracted monster. He leveled his hellgun and fired a sustained burst directly into the back of the war boss's skull. The powerful energy bolts blew out the orc's brains in a shower of gore. The hulking creature collapsed forward with an earth-shaking thud, its power claw sputtering and going dark. The lieutenant, chest heaving, spat on the corpse and quietly said, "For the Emperor." That broke them. The remaining orcs, seeing their leader fall, wavered. A few still fought on with mindless ferocity, but many turned and began to flee or simply milled in confusion. We showed no mercy. Disciplined volleys cut down the ones still resisting, and bloody bayonets dealt with any who tried to slink away. Within minutes, the forum was ours. The greenskins lay in heaped piles around their fallen warlord. A cheer went up from our lines, echoing off the scorched hive walls. This time, I found myself joining in, thrusting my bloodied bayonet into the ashen air and shouting praise to the God Emperor. It was an involuntary, ragged cry, equal parts triumph and exhaustion. Amid the cacophony, I even heard one of my comrades let out a cracked, whooping laugh, a startling sound in the sea of otherwise wordless exultation. In that moment, beneath layers of discipline and indoctrination, a tiny flicker of simple human joy, or maybe just relief, broke the surface. It vanished as quickly as it came, but it was there. "We are human after all," I remember thinking, "even if we wear the faces of death." Hive Arcadia was ours by nightfall. The orc command was shattered, and their remaining mob scattered in disarray. The battle for Hive Arcadia was over, though mopping up operations would grind on for days in the depths of the hive. That night, an eerie quiet fell over the ruins. In the streets that had consumed so many lives, only isolated gunshots and distant explosions echoed as we hunted down the last pockets of green-skinned stragglers. I limped through the rubble of the central forum, helping gather our wounded and lay out the bodies of our fallen. We had done what we came to do. Out of the hundreds of men who had begun this campaign in my company, only a fraction still stood at the end, many of them bloodied or limping. But the objective was secured, and that is all the Munitorum's ledgers will remember. Fresh reinforcements can always be tithed to replace the fallen. As long as some of us survive, the Death Corps remains at fighting strength. In the eerie post-battle hush, I found myself almost surprised to be alive. By all rights, I probably shouldn't have been. Against all the probabilities and all the expectations of a Krieg soldier, I endured. The thought was sobering and, in a way, hollow. I felt no elation at surviving, only a dull weariness and a faint, stubborn resolve. The Emperor clearly saw fit to let me continue fighting, so fight on I shall. Until he decrees otherwise, I will serve. Perhaps someday, when I've paid in full for the sins of Krieg, I will earn the Emperor's peace. But not today. Today, those of us left simply clean our weapons, tend to our wounds, and await the next set of orders. This war may be won, but in this galaxy, there is always another war to fight. In life, war. In death, peace. In life, shame. In death, atonement. We recited those words before the final charge, and I whisper them again now as I watch the blood-red dawn break over the shattered ruins of Hive Arcadia. I am a soldier of the Death Corps of Krieg, and for me, for all of us, the war never truly ends.